There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Don't worry, it's Yorkshire tea, and I'm having it with oat milk because, well, you know, that's what I'm like, really.
This is why I shouldn't fucking multitask.
Hello, welcome. We've only been in the top 100 all week. It's very hard being us over here, isn't it? Yes, it's very exciting. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I mean, you know, essentially I'm paid to say that. I'm not, it's a podcast. That's the punchline. Hello, you bunch of whiny dickheads. It's me, Scotty, your leader, your community worker, your support officer, and, your therapist to many of you fucking nutcases. Together with my mate Deb, producer Deb to you lot, please. We are here yet again as some form of Munchausen syndrome to give you another helping of that podcast thing that we call After the Tone. Apparently it's about 40 minutes, but this week not many of you are feeling like you want to join in, so we haven't got many calls. So, you know, it could be done in 10 minutes, hopefully. Essentially what happens, if you ain't listened to this before, is people have left voice notes for me on a burner phone, and I sort of say things after it to make it mildly entertaining, let's go with, because otherwise, what's the point of listening? I'm not going to lie, I'm going to tell you the truth here. I am slightly hungover. Yes, mummy had a beer or seven last night, and you know what she's like. And yes, I did have 20 nuggets afterwards when I got home. And I've just jumped out of therapy, just jumped into this, which, I mean, could go either way, really. But I'm this sort of brilliant mix of enlightened and curmudgeon. So do feel free to brace yourself. Apparently, I've got to say hello to people in foreign lands. Hello, people in foreign lands. Particularly shout outs to the Germany people, those in Australasia and in Sweden, which feels nice. But also, what a lineup for Eurovision. And whilst we're at it, please can I ask, why is Australia in Eurovision? Because it's not in Europe. I don't quite get that. I think it's like gay offside rule. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, you know, the offside rule, and, you know, people sort of explain it to you and you're like, I don't get it. Can someone call up and, like, let me know why Australia is in Eurovision? Also, are you one of those freaks that absolutely loves it? God, it's a cult. If you think this is a cult, go to Eurovision. Anyway, on a more serious note, before we get going, I do want to say a massive fucking bit of solidarity to the people of Palestine. If you don't know what's going on out there, please do enlighten yourself. Lend your voice, support and dollar if you can. Now, before we get going, I am just going to have a little sip of my tea. Sup of my tea, as they say up here. Oh, lovely. Oh, I tell you what, many people would look at the colour of this tea and think, that's disgusting. But I'm a two-bag kind of woman. I don't know why I thought that was innuendo, but, you know, we'll go with it. And I tell you what, the nearest colour I can tell you that is, it's like you've just had your morning shit after a night of drinking red wine. And that is why I'm the poet laureate of the United Kingdom. I tell you what, you better take me off air, Deb, and open up the mailbag, because I tell you what, those listeners that I've just mentioned in Germany, Australia and Sweden, oh, there won't be any more.
Hey, Scotty, and producer Deb, and all the crew in After the Tone. I just wanted to bring up a very important point here. If this is a pub, right, because that there JRF was saying, like, you know, there's new girls in the pub and all, right? I just want to make something or get some clarity, actually, right? If this is a pub, right, are the spirit measures the shitty, shitey fuck off UK 25 milliliter bullshit or the correct, decent 35 milliliter Irish measures? I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, but I would like it clarified because it's very important. Again, one of the many, many differences between the Irish and the British. Mostly us doing things right and them just being, you know, like the awkward uncle in the corner. Can't hold his 25 milliliter measures. Fuck's sake. Anyway, I'm just about to get into bed to to go to sleep so I can work fully function for not Google, by the way, tomorrow. Not getting paid that much. Right, well, hope everybody's doing well. And you're all getting a little prick, aka the vaccine, and can go out and hug people, start licking each other's faces and all that kind of shit again. Hope everybody's having a good time. Bye.
Well, condensed milk voices back again. Now, do you know, the more we get to know this one, you just think, well, you know what she's like on a night out. You know she's going to be fucking hard work, don't you? You know you're like having to call up the taxi and throw her in and hope for the best. You just can tell, can't you? Anyway, notoriously, as you know, I don't drink, so I wouldn't understand what that hangover is. Now, listen, you know where my allegiances lie on this one, sweetheart. Call it what it is, for what it is, and when it is. And so I'll call it for what it is now. I don't think we should be heralding the fact that there are 10 mil more over the way as, you know, doing things right. Particularly as you and I know that basically littered within our history and stories is alcoholism to the backbone. Now, there's a reason why Drunk Paddy is a stereotype. And it's not an unfair one. So, you know, I'm not saying the Brits over here have got it right. I'm not saying that at all. You know what I really love? When you go to Scotland, you have to plan when you want to have a drink because they stop serving so soon because, you know, part of the Kelp family, babes, at least they know. They're like, you better stop serving the drink at 10 o'clock because you know what they get like. So it can be very difficult getting a drink when you're up that way. But, you know, not that difficult getting one over the way, is it? Now, you know me, I love a proper bev. But I like to start with a pint of the good stuff because why not? And then work your way up from there. There is a really great bar that I really love in Dublin. Basically, you go in. I mean, measures are not a thing that really exists there. And the later it gets on in the night, there's just a whack anything in there, which is my sort of idea of a good time. Do you know what I mean? So now I'm thinking you work for PayPal. I mean, I will get it. Anyway, on to vaccines. Fat people over this way are being fucking gaslight to fucking shite because, you know, the government over here have been doing this whole thing of like, if you're fat and you die of COVID, well, it's your fault because you should have been exercising. So now fat people are going, oh, well, can we have the vaccine? They're like, absolutely not. You've got to wait your turn. Only a bunch of Tory cunts. Anyway, lovely to hear from you. Pleasure as much as it is a chore.
Scotty, JRF, producer Deb, most importantly, and the carer, and also Pigs in Blanket, who I think are very often that giggle when she told a story about the tea tail. It makes me laugh a lot. I am a first-time caller. I'm not sure if I'm a long-time listener, but I've listened to all of the episodes over the last 3 weeks, and I feel like I belong in the pub. And after last week's episode, I finally felt that it was time for me to call, because a long time ago, well, for me, a few days ago, you were asking for celebrity stories. So my celebrity story is not my story. It's my brother-in-law's brother's story, who was in the airport. Basically, everyone got off the plane and was waiting for their luggage, and it took fucking forever, right? And everyone's sort of watching the carousel go round. And as they're doing that, he notices in amongst the crowd Paul Daniels, who you mentioned in last week's episode. So he thought, for a laugh, he goes up to Paul and he says, "All right, Paul, how about you magic up the bags?" To which Paul Daniels replies, "Why don't you fuck off?" So yeah, that's my celebrity story. And also connected to last week, we started to talk a little bit about fashion. And that for me is what I really want to talk about. If I was going to give myself a little name for your podcast, I'm going to call myself BFD, which is Big Fat Dyke, right? I am a lovely, big, chubby lesbian. I always have been. I always will be. And my bugbear in life is fucking clothes. When I look back and I think about my childhood, all I can fucking remember is me and my mum standing, usually in some shit shop like Tammy Girl or fucking CNA, just death staring each other off because my mum wants me to buy a dress. She's like standing there with some fucking dress on a hanger and I'm looking at her with some kind of sport shorts that I want to purchase. And my whole life, when I think about it, like, I work for myself. I'm a teacher. I work online. Why do I do that? Because I can't fucking stand office wear, right? As a BFD, I don't want to be in ladies' office wear, right? And so every time I have to go for an interview, I just think, fuck it, I'm not going to fucking go, because what the fuck am I going to wear? So, Scotty, I follow you on Instagram, right? Mate, I fucking love everything that you wear. So my question is to you and everybody else in the pub who I love, where do you find clothes if you are a chubby fatty who is happy being a chubby fatty, particularly if you are a sort of like gender neutral presenting chubby fatty? Where do you get your clothes from? You know, there was a photo of you the other day, mate. You were in your art studio, I guess, and you were sitting in this amazing, I don't know what to call it, a jumpsuit with shorts. I fucking love wearing shorts and tops. And I just thought, man, I just want to dress like Scotty. So my question is, mate, where'd you get your clothes from? Also, thanks for everything you do. I'm in Russia, so I know that you like people who are international, but this podcast in the last few weeks has made a massive difference to me. So thank you very much. And yeah, where'd you get your fucking clothes from?
You're in Russia? Russia?
Well, condensed milk voice, look, I thought you were giving me all the feels of giving me a call from over the way. This one's come from Russia. Russia? I'm surprised it weren't illegal for you to send a voice note. Oh, isn't that exciting, Russia? Anyway, also, another thing that I love, Deb can testify for this, I love a dyke. Absolutely love a dyke. Actually, I said that online the other day, and like a baby gay said to me, I don't think you should say the word dyke because it's a word of oppression. And I said, if I didn't call some of my friends dykes and I called them lesbians, that would be an act of oppression against them, because there is an ilk of lesbiana, as a place, who are dykes. And you know what? In my day, it's such a moment of empowerment. It's just a word. So anyway, we could go into that. But anyway, Big Fat Dyke, absolutely welcome to the gang. So I'm going to call you an FCAL, BFD, which is first time caller, avid listener. We love that. Now, Paul Daniels, I love a distant story. I hate it when someone can come up to you and be like, oh, this thing happened to me. And it's like, no, I want to know about your second cousin's mum who works in Morrison's, who had a bit of a to-do with somebody. You know, I like that. I like a rigmarole to the story. I have actually met Debbie McGee in my time. Anyway, by the by, clothes. I love this notion of ladies' clothes. It's so outdated, isn't it? You go into a shop and go, excuse me, could you show me the way to the ladies' clothes? Oh, and I tell you what, when I've taken partners to go to the sections of the shop that I'd buy clothes from, I mean, one, they're always bemused, like, why all of a sudden is there just like bits of circles cut out of shoulders? I'm like, this is what they expect fat people to wear. And also, if I see another blouse with a fucking butterfly on it, I tell you what, I am going to knife Greta Thunberg. I can't say that. I don't mean that. I mean, as in, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do something bad to the environment because of the fucking butterflies. Bless Greta. She's actually a really lovely person. I mean, I've never met her in my life, but she seems very lovely, so I probably shouldn't say that. And Debbie might edit it out because it's probably a very violent thing to say to a child. Now, where do I get my gear from? Well, I don't want to say because I don't want to promote fast fashion. It's this difficult relationship that I have with fast fashion because fast fashion is often one of the only spaces in which bodies like ours are catered for because of the sizing. And so I don't want to be an endorser of fast fashion for what it does, but I also want to acknowledge that fat people are not given a choice or enough ethical choices in which clothing can be available to us. So if you want to slide into my DMs on the Instagram, feel free and I'll send you a few pointers. I tell you what, the other week I had to put together a little lookbook for a friend of mine because they were having a right old tears, bless them. So I just sent them about 5 links about things that I thought they'd look nice in and it made a very lovely outfit. So I've got a very discerning eye, even if I have to say so myself. The other thing I would definitely say is don't be afraid to cut shit up. So that jumpsuit that you saw on me was a lady's jumpsuit. And I just chopped the legs off and turned it up and sewed it together. I mean, you can do a really rudimentary version. If you cut the legs off, turn it up, iron it and pin it with some safety pins, it will still do the same thing. So when you look at things, don't think they have to be used in the way that they are. I also really big, I mean, this could probably not work for you in Russia, but I really want to do a fat clothes swap. They used to be really popular in like the early noughties, where basically like fat people bring clothes that they no longer want to wear, but that are still wearable. And you like share and share alike. It's like a really uncapitalist, slow fashion way of operating. Oh, yeah, I should do that really, shouldn't I? I don't know, maybe after this hangover.
Hiya, Scotty Bab, it's Pauline again, and hiya, producer Deb. Now, the reason I've never said hiya, producer Deb before is because I've always found that name quite triggering. I've got an auntie Deb, nasty piece of work, stole all the china from my nan's house when she kicked the bucket. Livid. Real nice stuff there. I can't believe you're going to sling your hook. We've only just begun, as Karen Carpenter used to say. Well, I thought I might end on this. Confession time. Every time my old man goes away, I sneak in KFC. Now, he's a level 5 vegan. So every time he goes to the bin, and I have discarded this chicken, and I've wrapped it up in several layers of bin bags, newspaper, whatever I can find, I always feel like the DoorDashers, and they're about to find the patio, the body, under it. I know that's going to mean nothing to a lot of your international fans, but I thought I'd confess this. And I'm playing with fire. If he finds out, I'm going to be sleeping on the streets. I need to go round your gaff.
Pauline, oh, do you know what? You're quickly becoming a favourite on these parts. Oh, I love that you're a person from a different age, like myself, quite old-fashioned. I don't mind casting aspersions like that, Pauline, because I just feel it. Now, you said Deb is quite a triggering name for you. It's quite a triggering name for me as well. Actually, Deb is quite a nasty piece of work. She keeps me locked up in here all week, and I don't have any autonomy. And this secret message will probably won't even get out, but, you know, fine. Oh, yeah, KFC. Secretly eating KFC for your level 5 boyfriend. I'll tell you what, why don't you come out? Why don't you just say, look, this is the post-therapy me coming out. Why don't people grow up here and we own our feelings and we'll say, occasionally I like to eat chicken. Discuss, partner, and see what they say. You know, you might be harbouring on some fear that might not be real. Or you might split up and that would make for a really great voice note in the future. Think about your public, Pauline. Stop being so selfish.
Hi, Scotty. It is Kat from Glasgow. It's been a while since I sent you and producer Deb a little message. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to say, even though I've started it. But I've just come home from like a couple of just like manic days in work. Glorious kind of the first kind of few face-to-face days with real life humans that I've had in a while. So it feels like this is the first time I've been able to just kind of like sit with feeling and thoughts since Thursday, where I'm sure you and many of the other folk down the pub have all seen or heard about the kind of spontaneous show of community that happened in Glasgow on Thursday that I was a part of, where we came together and a Dawn Raid van had shown up and they had placed 2 men inside and we just didn't let the fucking van leave. And there was hundreds of us there, and it was just that glorious spirit of like, just like the friendliest humans, and people passing out bottles of water and people passing out sandwiches. And although, no shade, but I slightly was like, jam sandwich? I've not had one of those in years. But anyway, the atmosphere of moments like that are always joyous, even though they've come from this darker place. Like, ultimately, we were all there because what was happening was unjust and we stood up for it. So I think all I'm kind of saying is just, I'm just super, super fucking proud of everyone that was there and what we achieved. And just, I can feel what I'm saying. I can feel it in my chest and I can feel it kind of rising up through my throat, but I'm unable to articulate it. But I'm sure people will also be able to feel what I'm feeling. Just that absolute pride in where I'm from, who my neighbours are, and that car horn, not proud of that. Yeah, just really sitting with my thoughts tonight and so pleased and just honoured to be from a place that cares as deeply as it does. And I do care about every single one of you and everyone. And it proves that we can just do it. Apologies for the car horns and my ramblings. Love to you all. You're all glorious. Thank you for being excellent humans. Love you all.
Oh, lovely Kat there, giving us absolutely a beautiful insight to that amazing moment that happened this week up in Glasgow there. So all power to you. For our listeners over the way, up the way or down the way, just to give this some context, Scotland is a country that's attached to the United Kingdom, but very much operates as a very different space. It's quickly becoming the only socialist space left within what some people call a United Kingdom. What happened this week was there was going to be a removal, I like to call an illegal removal, a deportation of a community member, a human from Glasgow, and the community came together and created an occupation on the street in which that person was being removed. So much so that the local police constabulary had to step down and allow that person to go free, because hundreds of people over the series of hours occupied the street and came together and said, not in our name. And it's difficult because, you know, you hope that this just isn't a delay, but this is a shift and a change and a move in a direction. But of course, the government are doing everything they possibly can to stop direct action like this being legal, lawful and possible. And so I'm worried that these activisms will be curtailed in the future. But, you know, the more I think about Scotland, the more I just think of, give me that socialism everywhere. I'm very lucky I live in a very socialist city. And for all of the SNP, which is the Scottish National Party, which is the very socialist, quite outward looking government, it does have its stuff that it needs to work through. But in comparison to the fucking bunch of clowns that are running the United Kingdom, it's facing in the right direction. Just think, wow, independence can't come quick enough for Scotland. So I really hope referendum is offered, which is so, so gruesome that it has to be offered. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Scottish Parliament take on the UK government. All power to you, Kat. You know, and that vagueness that you were talking about, finding your thoughts, that's what this is about. You don't have to call up and be snappy and witty and entertaining. That's my job. Finding your thoughts with us is completely allowed. And I also really love that you were heckled by the very community who stood by you with car horns. Lovely to hear from you, Kat. Oh, should we have a half-time breather? Oh, treat myself, might as well. Listen, we're coming towards the end of season 3. Look at that. Oh, it's very exciting. Next week is our last week. So, you know, do remember to tie up those loose ends and get some conversations in. If you've got a burning question or thought or feeling or something that you've been desperate to respond to, you know, you can do the same as BFD, Big Fat Dyke, and just call up and say, this is what I'm thinking. It would be gorgeous. Anyway, We're taking a little moment to read some gorgeous reviews that we've had. Long-time listener, first-time reviewer, where to begin? If you're looking for your people, After the Tone is where you'll find them. Thank you, Scotty and producer Debbie. That comes from SJ O'Shea. Good Irish name there. Thank you very much. Another one here which says, lovely stuff. My favourite podcast. I look forward to the laughs this gives me on my walk to work every Thursday morning. And that comes from user 261189. So I imagine that you were born on the 26th of the 11th, 1989, because otherwise, why choose such a bizarre set of numbers? Anyway, as ever, it's absolutely gorgeous to have those reviews. Please do give us a like, subscribe, star, follow us, whatever platform you listen to, because, you know, they all do different things, which is so annoying. But your reviews, your subscribes allows us to climb up the charts and allows other people to find us organically, which when, you know, you're next to Random House Penguin, who like putting in 40 grand to promote their podcast, it is very helpful when you help share the word. So thank you very much. If you want to join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/afterthetone. For £1 a week, you can help keep us on air and make sure that season 4 is bigger and better, which we're very much looking forward to. Right, let's dive back into it. I've only got a couple of calls left, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to a lie down.
Hope you're both doing well. Just going to give you some love, Scotty, because you keep saying that you're not getting it or you want more, which is so fucking fair. You're fab and gorgeous, and I love following your Instagram because it reminds me to look after myself by having lovely baths and doing some yoga. And also, I think you're really hot, so thanks for that. I just listened to this week's episode, and I just also wanted to give some love to Providenza. You do you, babe. I think you've done an amazing thing by even having that conversation with your family is incredible, and I'm wishing you all the love and luck on your affirmation journey. For me, I think I just need to do a bit of a rant today, to be honest. So I'm obviously Irish, I'm from Donegal, and I'm living in Kent in South England, like rural Kent. I get really pissed off at how much Irish people are just used as like performing monkeys by some British people. Like if I talk about something serious, they're like, oh, you're being very serious today. It's like, fuck off. Like, we're not here for your fucking entertainment. It's like we're always the gag. And like, the reason I'm here is because I'm doing a PhD. So like, obviously, people take you a bit more fucking serious when you have a couple of letters after your name. But still, even at this stage, like even at conferences and stuff, you're just still treated like this performing monkey. It's so frustrating. And I was wondering, Scotty, what's your thoughts on that as like an Irish person with an English accent? Like, do you experience that? Or is there any other Irish people who experience that? I'm like, just trying to call them out. But I mean, if you call a Southern English person out, they're just like, oh, what? You know, they just really don't take any accountability. It's really fucking annoying, isn't it? Sorry about all the copious swearing, but that's just how we talk, isn't it? Thanks so much for the podcast, guys. Absolutely love it. And sending loads of love to everybody. Bye.
Oh, the absolute best. I love this. Sorry, there's drilling going on outside the window, and I'm not stopping because I tell you what, this is a great call. Not only because it starts with me being an absolute ride. Thank you very much. Many thanks. And oh, I'm glad that so many people are enjoying me on Instagram, because sometimes I just feel like, am I just showing off? I mean, clearly I am, but, you know, it's helping some people. Now, a Donegal person, you're very much welcome here. I wouldn't say that to Debbie because she's from Mayo. We don't talk about it. Living in Kent, well, you don't make things easy for yourself, do you? Now, Paddy the Irish is such a stereotype that is still so ingrained here. But when I was talking to a friend of mine who's recently become a friend of mine, who's Irish-American, so from Chicago, just moved to the UK for the first time. And, you know, I've been talking about the experiences growing up here and what that means, and also colonialism and the United Kingdom. And, you know, he's been having also conversations about his Irishness. He was like, I'm so astounded at the amount of active anti-Irishness that still exists in Englandshire. I find it interesting that, you know, like, we just sort of accept it, or it's just like a normal thing. I don't know really how to collect my thoughts on this for a couple of reasons. Whenever my Irishness is acknowledged, I find it really difficult because I always find myself really being so fraudulent. But then if I'm ever addressed as being British, I feel really violent. Diasporic Irishness is really complex and difficult because the Irish have essentially, we've marketed our culture as a way of attracting people to the island and to Irishness and to legitimise. There's a really interesting book called How the Irish Became White, which I'm sure you and others are aware of, which really goes into that in detail. And, you know, in this sort of light entertainment podcast that we're doing, I'm not sure if I should be opening up such a massive conversation, which we could sit with for a very long time. I grew up in a house, you know, this will sort of give context, I think, to some of the anti-English sentiment in my family, because we grew up with the age of no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And then from my childhood, it was no Irish, no travellers on pub doors. I remember that very vividly because we were considered to be trouble. I'm researching for a show called Plastic Paddies. And so I've read pamphlets from like the late 90s that were produced by the Metropolitan Police, which are called Policing the Irish, which are essential ways of like how to police the Irish. I mean, it's completely fucked up stuff. But I guess what I'm saying is like massive, absolute solidarity and up your Irish and like, you be such a fucking moody curmudgeon that you need to be if that is what's going to get them to listen. I think there is such a cultural stereotype of like being up for the crack, being up for the laugh. But whenever we enter discourse, quite often it's illegitimate. Also, do you know what? I'm so fucking bored because I've got a Donegal name. I am so bored of having to teach English people not only how to say my name, but how to spell it as well. My name's not Gallagher. My name's Galha. I mean, there are so many Galhas over this way. Please just say my name right, because it's just a moment of decency. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not called Aoife, which I can imagine might be difficult for you to get your head or your mouth around. But even still, it shows your fucking ignorance. Anyway, this is now turning into a real long rant. And whilst I'm at it, you cannot find a decent fucking pint in this country. Oh, the amount of like absolute awful pints of Guinness that I've been placed in front of me, which are lukewarm in plastic cups. I tell you what, oh, now you've got me going. I'm going to have a lie down.
Hi, Scotty. It's Marilyn Massandry here with some really funny gossip for you about myself. I'm kind of telling on myself. The other week, I got messaged on Grindr by someone, and we had like a really hot, steamy, horny conversation. And I asked him to send me some pics of himself, and he did, and he was a fairy, which, you know, perhaps that's a warning sign, but, like, whatever, don't kink shame, it's fine. Anyway, we really got into it, and we were back and forth sending pics, taking pics, basically doing everything you can do in lockdown other than actual shagging, and I asked him for, like, any pics of himself, events, and he sent me loads, and it slowly turned out that actually his fur character that he used to do was a policeman, and he said in his words, I love posing with the local police, and it turns out that I nearly slept with another fascist, except this time this one dressed up as a fascist as well, a fascist police dog. So yeah, I'm thinking of joining a nunnery because I quite clearly cannot be trusted with men. Anyway, I love you lots.
Oh, I love this. Now, full disclosure, Marilyn Massandry is someone who I recognise as being a beautiful child, you know, who I hold very dearly, very, very dearly. And so this is so fab. This is it, you know, where intersectional identities meet. But wow, what a niche to be like, hi, I'm a fascist pup. Fascist pups, who knew it existed? I wonder if our Toby's got something to say about that. Oh, wow. Why would you? I mean, I don't get it. I do not get, in the kink world, why dressing up like a policeman or a police dog is a thing. Like, it just frightens me. Like, the imagery frightens me. That's not something I'm like, oh, that feels sexy. It just makes me think, fuck, I need to get out of here. Now, if you want to talk about being a nun pup, Marilyn. Oh, conversation so much.
Hello, Scotty and all you toners. This is Jamie from Edinburgh. Just doing a little shout out, really, for growing older. This is my golden year. I'm going to be 50 later in the year. So I just keep thinking about that, milestones and stuff like that. And just getting older and being middle-aged, it's really amusing. Not coming out till I was 33 kind of knocked me. So my adolescence didn't really start till 33. And boy, did I make up for it being one of them gayers. Yeah, got through my fair share, let me say. Also, living with BPD, borderline personality disorder, kind of locks you into a lot of adolescent behavior or even toddler thinking. But on good days, I feel okay about getting older. A new wrinkle appears in the mirror and I laugh at it. I think, oh, isn't that, look at that. Yeah, I'm getting older. And as my flatmate says, growing old is a privilege that not many humans get to experience. So that's a thing, isn't it? That's a thought. Also, you'll never be this young again, so you may as well enjoy today. Oh God, 47 was the year everything headed south. I think 49 is the year that everything is headed out. So I'm now down and out. But that's lockdown for you. But it's all sort of connected into where did you piss yourself? Because, oh my God, a friend of mine just came up with this phrase. He said, do you know the dot of shame? And I immediately understood what he meant. Because after a certain age, you go to the loo and you shake it off and you pop it back in your pants. And then suddenly there's like this whole reservoir down in the pipes that comes out. And you were like, well, where were you when I was shaking off? But sometimes, you know, the little message is sent from down below to brain going, oh, I need a wee. And you think, oh, that's all right. And actually, it's not out right anymore because the wash has perished. And a little bit comes out, ooh, and you get the dot of shame. So that there is that. So a shout out for all my middle age chums who are dealing with the wrinkles and the hair loss and the gut and the wee-wee and the glasses at the end of the nose. Hurrah.
Lovely, Jamie. It's lovely to have you back in the room there, sweetheart, with those beautiful, beautiful sounds that your lovely voice box makes, doesn't it? 50, well, there's a landmark for you, sweetheart. So happy birthday. HBD with your BPD. Look at that. Now, there was a lot there that you mentioned. I do relate to this thing about getting old. It's sort of just hitting me at the moment. I turned 36 this year, but my body is sort of changing quite rapidly. So much so that I am going to be grey by the end of the year, but let's just pretend I'm just putting henna on it. Well, just because I always really like my ginger hair, but it's always never been ginger enough. Here we go. This is about me. It's never been ginger enough. Now, because the hair's going lighter and I put the henna on top of it, it's going much lighter in ginger shade. So I'm really enjoying that. And I love that idea that age is a privilege. You know, I'm very lucky that I've had elder friends, particularly elder queer friends, who have just always admired. I mean, I've always been that old-fashioned little queer kid that much prefers to hang out with nanas than they do, you know, people their own age, because people my own age bore me. But I tell you what, even throughout all this aging and stuff like that, I really feel like I'm going through a renaissance at the moment. Like, suddenly I sort of feel quite sexy and attractive, which is a new feeling. So I wonder if I can retain that into my next trimester, that's when you have a baby, isn't it? Well, you know what I mean, into the next bit. I'm pissing yourself, I'm all here, let's normalise it. You know what? It's just a bit of piss, you know. I'm sure people have done much worse. Some people have dressed up as fascist dogs. And that is it for yet another beautiful, lovely week. We've got one more week left of this season. Oh, I know. Feels like we're only just getting going. But actually, I tell you what, me and Deb definitely need a break. Because, you know, 3 months solid producing a show for you lot is a blessing and a curse. And so with that in mind, please do feel free to show some generosity over on patreon.com/afterthetone. If you can. We know not everyone is in a position that they can. For £1 a week, you can help keep us on air, online, and on the straight and narrow. Well, one of those is a lie. Oh, I've had a wonderful week. Brilliant first-time callers there as well. Some new people entering the gang just as we're about to take a little break. But, you know, we'll be back for season four. Don't you worry about it. Remember, if you would like to join in the conversation, all you got to do is open up the WhatsApp and send us a voice note to this number.
0788 200 3420.
And we also love to hear from you throughout the week on the social medias, hashtag After The Tone POD pod. And, you know, without further ado, I think I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to have a little lie down now. Oh, who am I fucking kidding? I've got to do about seven other things today. Well, the job of influential artist is never done. Oh, thanks for putting up with me today. I know I've been a massive dickhead and not in a good way. All right, see you later, sweethearts. Look after yourself and remember, what do I... Oh, I forgot. Insert something profound here in a bit.
Tone after the tone, after the tone, leave your name.
The Tone is presented by me, Scotty, and produced by Debbie Kilbride, with theme tunes from Liv Morris and Louise Mothersoul. Shout out to podcast.co. After the Tone is a Debbie Productions production. Catch us every Thursday for new episodes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.